Hey, it's Trady Price here. Thank you for joining the Movie Club Podcast. This week we'll be talking about Lockdown with Anne Hathaway and Chiwetel Ejiofor. Please enjoy.
Nothing is okay.
Linda said she was planning to end our thing.
Nobody wants to live alone.
For 2 weeks, we are locked together here.
You know, you think I'm so happy and normal.
No, I'd never accuse you of being happy and normal.
Because I'm not!
I want y'all to understand that, we watched this movie so long ago, and I don't know what keeps happening, but just stuff keeps happening to where this movie gets pushed aside, and
it's Trey's fault.
Don't do that. Because not just my fault. I will break some of the blame. Not all of it.
Fair.
This movie deserves so much better treatment. And that's on me. That's on me. I should have pushed harder for us, especially after the review or the discussion that you've seen possibly before this. Yeah. So, the pandemic was a thing that happened. And I thought as a universe, we decided to maybe hold off on pandemic movies until after this world-changing, world-shaking event took place. Apparently not.
Or has at least calmed down. No, we're in the thick of it.
Yeah.
My friend.
Yep.
In the thick of it. And we just gonna make a movie.
Just make a movie about it. Luckily, though, I enjoyed this movie.
This movie, it's one of those things where it's like, is it like a moral or ethical thing to not really make fun, but make use of an entirely horrible situation while it's happening? You know, I don't know if that's maybe the best idea.
Well, see, I think the thing is that this. You about to say something.
But this movie takes advantage of it in a way that doesn't feel bad.
Yeah.
Like it feels like it. It of course plays an integral part of the plot of the movie, and I don't know. It feels right instead of wrong, like it should.
Well, because it doesn't. It's not like a zombie movie, perchance. It's relatable. You know,
yeah.
It's a relatable movie for the situation that we're in, and honestly, I think the whole thing that makes this work is the strength of our two actors here, of Chiwetel Ejiofor and Anne Hathaway.
That's Chiwetel Ejiofor, is it?
Yeah, it's Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Oh, that's how you pronounce that. That's what that looks like. I've heard his name a lot, but I've never seen it written down.
Because he's an amazing. He is to acting what Roger Deakins is to cinematography.
so you're
start
saying.
Being my comparison for everything. Imagine a movie with Edgar Wright directing, Roger Deakins cinematography, and Chiwetel Ejiofor on the acting. Yes. Outstanding. It'd be an amazing film.
You know what? I co-sign it.
In fact, but continue with your thoughts, because I now have to see if he was. I need to see a thing. Continue.
Okay. So we got Babe Hathaway, bruh. And Chiwetel Ejiofor as our two main leads here. And let me just say, their chemistry is really good. They play it off of each other like extraordinarily well. You can feel this broken relationship between two crazy ass motherfuckers in the end, because they crazy as hell individually and as a group. And then you can just kind of feel that they're not shitty people, you know? They're not like really shitty individuals, and they're like trying to exist through this pandemic.
Trying to exist with each other, especially after
while the separating
exciting event. Yeah, that happened that caused them to, which kind of reflects probably what happened to a lot of couples that got stuck together during the pandemic.
Can
especially
you
fresh couples that are probably just like, oh, now we're. Oh, no.
I wanted to like. Have a break from you for a little bit, and now you're quarantined together for 2 weeks, and you have to see them every single day. Oof.
2 weeks depends on where you are.
At first. Sorry. This movie takes place at the beginning of the lockdown.
Mm-hmm. Well, it takes place in a situation where you actually have to lock down. Not like here where we just, you know, go out willy nilly.
We're locked down. Let me go to Jimmy's house real quick, though. I need to get some eggs.
Let me throw COVID parties during the whole pandemic. Yeah,
I hate all of you.
This wasn't a thing in this movie. They actually are locked down away from everybody else, only to go in if you are essential. You know,
mm-hmm.
And one of the flow of this movie is that Chiwetel Ejiofor is deferred. Or no, furloughed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now he just doesn't know what to do with himself. He's a poet without a pen. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he's just frustrated. And Anne Hathaway, who plays not a CEO.
She was a CEO. She was the CEO of her division. Like, country market or whatever. Like, of the company's branch in the UK or whatever.
Sure. And her having just have to let people go.
Yep.
You know.
And not even because of COVID.
No.
It wasn't even because of COVID. That, which is the worst part.
Honestly, these two people just kind of feeling the worst at this time.
Yeah.
Kind of made me endear to them more. I don't know if it's just the evilness of me. You know what I mean?
Trey likes to see people suffer.
I don't say that.
But it's seeing two people just down and out of it. And, you know, she's got a, quote, good job. She's making good money, but she hates everything that she's doing. Her relationship that she's had for damn near her whole life is in shambles. It's broken. As soon as lockdown's over, she's gone. Mm-hmm. And she has to do shit that she honestly doesn't want to do. She starts smoking again and shit. She's stressed the fuck out. She's literally crazy, but she's got an artist mind.
Yeah,
and she doesn't release her shit. She just keeps that shit inside, and so it just eats at her. Same with Chiwetel. That's Mr. Ejiofor. That's the easiest way.
His last name is also wrong.
Whatever the fuck, man. I'm sorry. I don't know your name. I'm sorry. Oh, you the goat though.
Pronunciation.
Let's see if I don't think it'll help. It didn't help last time.
Ejiofor. I'm so sorry, Chiwetel. This man.
No, wait, that is watch, what it says. Capital E, capital J, E.
Yeah, but you say it together. Ejiofor.
Whatever.
You don't.
Whatever. I'll take my
look,
L.
If you want just to fight this of, man, nope. He lives at.
Look. Like I said,
you gonna talk to Baron Mordo like this?
Look,
he about to get tired.
All I'm saying is, my bad, bro. You a goat. You a goat for this movie. I really am gonna give it to you because you earned it. And it's just seeing his character development from a dude who's just down and out, who's been on a decline, damn near like not even a plateau, but like a. What is it after it plateaus? You just hit the fucking bottom. It's a
steep decline. You had it.
Like, oh, okay. And for a decade now, because he caught a charge and just can't do anything after that. And it's so, man, when Anne Hathaway explains that he can't do his job because he's going to get caught at the door, and he's like, man, I can't fucking get anywhere. I felt that shit, bro. I was like, bro, can't catch a break. And then he went on and gave like great dialogue. And this is just monologuing and dialoguing for the whole movie.
It really is. And that's one of the things is what I'm saying. Like if our two leads weren't as strong as they were, this wouldn't have worked.
It really wouldn't have. If you can't carry, you have to be able to carry yourself and play off of somebody else. And that's the entire movie. There's nothing else. You guys are the only interests in this movie for the most part, and they could do it, man.
Yeah,
Anne Hathaway.
These are two strong actors right here.
Good fucking shit! Oh my god.
There's so many, like, along with all the sad parts of this movie, there are a lot of bright parts. Chiwetel Ejiofor reading poetry.
to his neighbors.
To his neighbors. I really dug those parts.
I dug them too. They're like a nice way to like break stuff up. Mm-hmm. And I especially like at the beginning, there's just like this one guy who hates it. He's like, shut up, go to bed. He's like, I would if I could, buddy. You know, I can't go to fucking sleep. And then by the end, everyone's like welcoming him and his poems. And then they're kind of like really dark. And then they get progressively brighter. Mm-hmm. So it's like I really did appreciate, especially the last one. The last one was my favorite.
Mm-hmm. But there's something we aren't talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Which is why I felt so conflicted. Which the first time that we sort of drug our feet on reviewing this is because I wanted to watch it again because I didn't know how to feel about this. Because the whole crux, if you watch the trailer, is that this is a heist film.
Yup. Surprise, motherfucker.
We haven't talked about a heist. We're 10 minutes into this discussion and we haven't talked about the heist as of yet. Let me tell you, that's because the heist happens in the last 30 minutes, if that much, of the movie. and don't get me wrong, it's not much of a heist. It isn't. If you're looking for Ocean's 11, this is not it.
Ocean's 8 and Hathaway.
Excuse me, sorry. If you're looking for Ocean's 8, this ain't it. But it is entertaining. That part is, while small, is entertaining to me.
I enjoyed it. I would have liked for it to be more, but I see what they were going for with it, and I like it enough.
Yeah.
Paging Mr. Edgar Allan Poe.
Like, that whole thing is like...
Please come to security.
Why is my name? It's a writer. You know what it is? Like, I don't...
Do you know who Edgar Allan Poe is? No, who is that? His boss who answers every call with a fucking prayer. Yes,
Ben Kingsley.
This motherfucker, bro.
God, I love Ben Kingsley in this thing. Like, he had such a small role, but it was such a great role at the same time.
I hated him.
I loved it so
because
much.
Of his character, but he was doing a good job.
Yeah.
He was doing a good job.
Nah, man. This is... Honestly, for what they were able to do, this feels like an indie film. Like, this feels like something that, like, a first-time director could do. And because there's not really a lot going on here. Or if there is, you know, there's little things that I could probably mention. But it's, you know, it's devil in the details, checking each frame type thing. You know what I mean? Checking compositions and seeing what that means. Like Shaquille said with the reading of the poems and, you know, how their tone changes along with the feeling of the movie. But as far as like really spectacular or spectacle type of cinematography going on here, there isn't a lot. Like we said, there is a lot. This is dialogue, the movie, but it is really good dialogue. If you're a writer, you would definitely if you want to be a writer, you could definitely watch this movie and study its dialogue and hope to God that you have actors that can deliver said dialogue. And with all that said, I honestly would have to give this a B. I'm going to give this a straight up B. Because like I said, there's not a lot going on here. I did enjoy it. I do think you're kind of misleading people with that trailer if they do see that trailer. That you're baiting them in with the heist film prospects. In fact, that was one of the things that, you know, had interested us in watching this movie.
Yeah.
Was pretty much based on the heist film, because the first part of the trailer wasn't really catching us, which is the majority of this movie.
Was just the dialogue.
But then
that we
the
just
dialogue switch was like, oh, that's, I didn't even see that coming. And I didn't see it coming when we watched the movie. Like, they tricked me two times.
I think it was very subtle. But it's like, after watching it the second time, I was able to get like, okay, now that I know what's going to happen, how do they lead it up? And it's like, okay, he's got the job being the delivery man. Mm-hmm. And then he's got all these companies that he's got to go to, empty out their shit, you know, take it to wherever the fuck he's got to take it to. And then Anne Hathaway has come from this other job and she's got her current job and all these companies and all these fucking stores and all of this shit. And I was like, okay, where do you overlap the two? Mm-hmm. And it was still at, like, I think at the start of, like, I guess the second act. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. When he actually goes over his jobs mm-hmm. from the what was his name? Bill Kingsley, I think.
Ben Kingsley.
And I was like, oh, okay. So that's where that is. That's how, like, where the overlap is. And I was like, okay. And then it kind of explodes all the information at you kind of at once with Anne Hathaway's revelation mm-hmm. of what of her conversation with her and her grandma. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was very subtle until it wasn't.
Okay.
Long, very long story short.
So with all that said, what do you give it?
Oh, I give this a B plus.
Okay.
The plus is for Anne Hathaway just existing in this movie and being as great as she is.
Plus size things that she got. She do have them things.
As an actor, she did a very phenomenal job in this film, and I have enjoyed.
Whatever, dog. I feel what I feel. You can't stop love.
I wasn't trying to. I let you get what you said out. I've been a fan of Anne Hathaway since damn. What was the Princess Bride? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was it. I was in from right there, and she hasn't let me down yet. I haven't seen a lot of her shit though.
I was in the first time she showed her boobs. So anyway.
It's been so long since we've seen this, but I also like the score for this, but I can't remember it at this point because it's been so long. Mm-hmm. But there are some points where it was very, very strong in not even the dialogue, like when he's like riding his bike and when him and Anne Hathaway are riding the bike and like towards the heist part of the film, mm-hmm. it starts becoming very, very strong and it helps signal those tone changes that, you know, the shit's about to go down. Mm-hmm. Type of thing. So I can't remember specifics, but I really liked it.
Okay. All right, people. It really is telling whether when we like a
when
like
we
a
like
or
a don't.
We don't like
it's
a
like people start
like
to catch
film,
on.
We're calm and it's just we're just like, yeah, like this. This could be improved. And then it's like that's a 2-minute podcast. But when I hate a film, it's like, oh, and then and then vitriol, and then it's a 4-hour podcast. So it's just, there's nothing I can say when I like your stuff. But if I hate it, I just sit here and it ruminates in my head.
We gotta analyze the movies we like. We gotta start taking all the hella notes, man.
I can't take notes. I don't know how Steven does it.
I don't understand. I guess he's just been doing it for so long. It becomes one of those, like muscle memory. It starts to become an instinct where you can just do both at the same time.
Like I'm trying to write this down and I'm missing other key parts of the movie just to kind of get one part
down. Once you get to that level, you just start seeing a lot of shit is the same shit. So you write down everything that's different, I guess.
Or like ish with Mortal Kombat.
Would you just pause it and keep going and just pause and take notes?
Just have a whole little breakdown.
He had a whole ass analysis of this.
All right, people. So you know what we thought. Let's go check out what the people thought. And of course, this is online. This is on HBO Max. So we got to go to the Rotten Tomatoes for them people thoughts. On the tomato meter, this gets a 43%. That's from the critics out there. And for the audience, that is a whopping 28%.
Yeah, I feel the same. I'm disappointed in y'all people. For the last movie we reviewed,
y'all deserve Zack Snyder.
I guess the whole pandemic thing rubbed people the wrong way. Maybe people don't like good dialogue.
I truly do believe that the people that did watch it probably watched it for the same reasons we did.
Oh, yeah.
And then got Shanghai'd. So,
and then they're just sitting here like, well, I've watched an hour and a half of this movie and there's no crew. Mm-hmm. What the fuck is this? Is not a heist movie. And right. Then they're just like, I'm out.
So that honestly probably was a misstep on their part for the promotion of this movie. You really don't want to.
Could have cut a better trailer.
You really don't want to mislead an audience that much. You can trick them a little bit and they'll be like, oh, I didn't see this coming.
Put some stuff in there and then take it out.
Yeah, because that's putting your best foot forward and your best foot is a whole hour into the movie, right?
That's after you got your stride up.
Right, and then people get fatigued watching your movie trying to get to that really good part.
I also think people just have shitty level of attention spans now. I honestly think that plays a big part in this. Is that people is like, oh, well, this isn't a heist film, but Fuck, okay, I'm still liking this, but you know, where's the heist part? But no, nope, they just, this ain't a heist film. All right, I'm done.
We're slowly becoming Martin Scorsese.
I mean, in certain aspects, he's not wrong, but in some aspects, he is dead fucking wrong. One of those being, let me make a 3.5 hour movie right now. See, no.
See, here's the thing about that, though. We've watched 3.5 hour movies. So what if we watch The Irishman and that thing is a revelation?
If it's actually good, I will take back what I've been saying about the Scorsese's and how he's old, like, and he don't like anything new.
Malcolm X.
Yeah, but that movie's old. Like, what was that movie in, like, 91 or something?
Yeah, what's that got to do with anything?
That was a more acceptable time for movies to be 3.5 hours long.
Okay. I didn't know that was acceptable times for those things. That's a thing that happens. There's no acceptable times for movies to be a certain length.
There aren't, but looking at the way that movies are paced now, everything is a lot faster. Like I said, people have shorter attention spans.
Look at The Lord of the Rings.
When did that come out?
Uncut. That was like early 2000s.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. And look at me now. Still like ain't seen Hobbit. That shit.
Like, them shits are still long.
Still ain't seen them.
I mean, fair, because I fell asleep during the beginning part also. Yeah, so that's a thing.
But like,
Endgame, you know?
Like, yeah, but those aren't like on their own, though.
Hateful Eight.
I haven't seen that either.
Really long-ass Quentin Tarantino movie.
But guess what? He was making movies back when niggas was making 3.5. When? How long was... All his movies are long.
Not all of them. No. Not how long like was long. Not Hateful Eight.
I know that's like that's the long one.
Hateful Eight had an intermission in the theater.
That's the long one. I know. You know? And that's I don't know how long it even is. I know that's the long one that I just my boy swears by it because he loves Quentin Tarantino. But
after Django, I haven't watched it either. But that's only because after Django, I just really can't. But I think I watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and it got me back. But
yeah, we watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And that was long. And then I saw Pulp Fiction after that.
Have you not seen Pulp Fiction before? I know you've seen Pulp Fiction before. We've done Pulp Fiction.
We did. I'm pretty sure that was after Once Upon a Time, right?
No. No, not we've done it on the podcast, but
we watched it. We
filmed Pulp Fiction.
Was that after?
No, dude.
Or shit, I mean before.
We did the diner scene.
No, I know that. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that was hella before Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, shit.
And I know we've watched that before we did the diner scene. Like, not before, directly before, but I know we've watched it before.
Oh, okay. I got my times mixed up on one. I don't remember when Once Upon a Time came out. I was just pretty sure I saw
it. 2019? I feel like it was in that glut of the year where really good stuff was coming out. Let's check.
I think so.
Vamp for me.
I think so. People, you should swap these. We should just go ahead and like hack the site and just like swap the scores for this and fucking
2019. Man, 2019 was a good year for movies.
Yeah.
My God, 2019 was a good year for movies.
Oh my God. Yeah, 1917, Uncut. The Irishman.
The Gentleman.
The Gentleman. God damn it. God damn it. Wasn't that
like I got him.
Wasn't that one Frozen 2?
I think it was. And Spies in Disguise, I think.
I think so. I think we had two anime movies that month.
Yeah.
God, that was a good year.
It was a good year for movies. And it has gone downhill since.
I mean, 2020 was right after.
Yeah, that killed
me. I mean, there were still some good movies that came out, but they got to recover.
On Netflix.
Netflix and HBO Max holding
but
it down.
But anyway, we're getting mad off track. We're getting into one of our usual conversations.
Ah, yes, no. We liked this movie. It should have
liked this movie.
It should have. If you wanted us to watch this movie just for the heist part, well, fuck, you're done. But if you were interested in this movie but gave up because the heist part was taking too long to get to, please give it another try. Empty your palate and try again. It is worth it. I believe so.
Yeah, I can't add too much more to that.
Paging Edgar Allan Poe. Mr. Edgar Allan Poe, please report to security.
It's a new dawn. It's a new day.
Who'd have thought a month ago we'd be doing this? Not me.
Thank you for listening to another Movie Club podcast. Production 1200's premier podcast. If you have suggestions for movies you want us to see, leave them in the comments below. check out the short films we have on the page, and look forward to what we're making next. If you want more from us or other ways to reach us, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all Production 1200. If you're listening to us on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating review. Trust me, it's what your grandma would have wanted. And if you listen to us on other podcast platforms, do the same if you're able to do those things. It's Trady Price signing off. Hear you next time.